Hello, good morning. Let's turn to Psalm 84. Psalm 84. For the choir director on the Gittith, a psalm of the sons of Korah. How lovely are thy dwelling places, O Lord of hosts. My soul longed and even yearned for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. The bird also has found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, and where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, how blessed are those who dwell in thy house. They are ever praising thee. Selah. How blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. Passing through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The early rain also covers it with blessings. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them appears before God in Zion. O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Selah. Behold our shield, O God, and look upon the face of thine anointed, for a day in thy courts is better than 1,000 outside. I'd rather stand at the threshold of the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, how blessed is a man who trusts in thee. Amen. This is one of the most famous psalms. It's one of the most beautiful ones. People are familiar with Psalm 23, Psalm 139. Psalm 84 is definitely on the highlight list of these songs. And it's interesting, first of all, it says, the Psalm of the Sons of Korah. If you remember from the book of Numbers, Korah was a leader, the son of Kohath, and he led a rebellion of 250 prominent leaders of the Israelites against Aaron and Moses. And so it very much alarmed Moses. So if you know the story, he fell on his feet. And he cried out to the Lord, and he basically said, let's come back tomorrow. It's like almost like a showdown, in essence. And he said, let's come back tomorrow, and we're going to inquire of God, and God's going to basically show what's going to happen. And the basic reason was Korah, he felt that everyone was a minister of the Lord. He felt that there was like equal footing. Everyone had equal footing. We were all ministers of God, and so he took offense to the fact that Aaron and Moses were making most of the decisions. In essence, he didn't understand spiritual authority. He didn't understand that yes, I mean there is an equality, but God gives responsibility to certain people, particularly in this case, Aaron and Moses. And so if you pick up the story later on in Numbers 26, we know that God basically opened up the earth and swallowed Korah and all of the 250 leaders. But interesting enough, the sons of Korah were not slain. And those are the sons of Korah that write this psalm. And so most likely what most people believe is that the sons of Korah, I mean, obviously they didn't really agree with their dad, but what happened was that they were so grateful for God's mercy. I mean, they were so grateful that they did not die. And so as a result, they became very noted for their beautiful songs that they wrote to God. And if you really think about it, isn't that the basis of great worship? I mean, I'm talking about, not us producing songs, but just really the heart of worship. Isn't that really the basis of any worship that we can think about? It's people, me and you, that are so grateful to God that he had mercy on us, right? That we're so grateful that he saved us. And so our response to that mercy and that grace is to offer a praise to God. That's basically what these sons of Korah, and they became renowned because of their songs, because of their heart of worship, it's as if, Lord, I can't believe you saved us. We deserve to die. This is our father's sin. We deserve to die, and you spared our life. And so for the rest of my days, I'm going to worship you. And to be quite honest, that should be every one of our hearts. That we, I mean, for the wages of sin is death. I mean, we are dead in our trespasses and our sins. But Jesus Christ came and had mercy on us, and he saved us. And so the full-time occupation of our life is to thank God for that mercy. Thank God by serving him. Thank God by loving him. Thank God by worshiping him. Thank God by loving others. Thank God by caring for the poor. Thank God. You know, Corinthians tells us, and there's this verse, and it says that that your gift, you know, your service to the Lord is overflowing with thanksgivings to God. And that's really what it's about. All that we do, our service to the Lord, our giving to God, our loving our neighbor, all these type of things, it's just all it is, it's an expression of our thanksgiving to the Lord. Lord, we're thankful for what you've done for us. And that's the sons of Korah. So obviously, they're talking here about the tabernacle because the temple has not been built yet. And so they start off, and he says, how lovely are thy dwelling places, O Lord of hosts. Now, remember, this dwelling place is moving about as they're wandering through the wilderness. And so he's just sharing this joy of just being in the house of the Lord. Just being in even this temporary house, this temporary structure. It says, how lovely are your dwelling places, O Lord. My soul longs and even yearns for the court of the Lord. There's a deep, deep cry that he would enter in into this place. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. I mean, these sons of Korah are totally enamored with God. I mean, they just want to come into his house, you know, the place of sacrifice, the place of worship, the place of learning, to really draw close to God. And he says the bird also has found a house. You know, maybe there was a bird's nest that was there, and I imagine he's looking at that and saying, wow, even the birds have found this home. And how much they long. And now you could see kind of the longing for them to have their own temple in this way. They long for that place to really lay their heads. Blessed are those who dwell in thy house. They are ever praising thee. And primarily the house of God. I mean, we will take this and we'll bring it home, you know, to today. And the church, places of worship should be primarily known as places of praise. These are the places where Jesus Christ is high and lifted up. And that's really what it's about. And he says, blessed are those. In other words, that when we come into the house of the Lord and we're offering a praise, there is a tremendous blessing that flows in our life as a result. And then he continues on, how blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. That they draw strength not from their accomplishments, not from their position, but really from the Lord. And it says, and whose heart is the highways to Zion, passing through the valley of Baca. The valley of Baca means weeping. And so look what happens is when your strength comes from the Lord, this is a translation, passing through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. And all of a sudden, that place of tears, place of weeping, because actually becomes a place of life, a place of springs that happen. That's what happens when your strength comes from the Lord. And they go from strength to strength. This is a common phrase. It just means, speak it this way, they get stronger and stronger. That's basically what that phrase means. When they say, you know, you go from glory to glory, it just means there's more glory. It's glory and then more glory that's happening here. And so even they come in strength to strength. And every one of them appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. And then there's a Selah. There's that pause. There's strength. There's so much joy in the house of the Lord. And just think about this progression. And then out of that praise, out of that place, comes this great strength of God. Isn't that true? I remember when I first started working, and I was, a college grad. I came to Hong Kong. You guys know my story, right? I tore my ACL. So I went back to the U.S., and I started working. I was an accountant. I was working at a big bank. And as I was working, I started getting really tired. You're not used to the 9 to 5 or, the 9 to 6 or whatever it may be. And you start getting tired. And I started feeling that, this kind of fatigue from working when you're not used to, having a full-time job. And then a lot of your motivations, you don't really want to do anything. You don't want to go out. You're just so tired from working and just the mental drain of it all. And we used to have a Wednesday night Bible study at our church, the church I was going to at that time. And every morning, Wednesday morning, I intended not to go to the Bible study. I'd rather go home, get some more sleep. You have to remember, this is early on in your working life. I think you get used to it in these things. But if you remember your first job or something, how tired you were all the time. And I didn't plan to go to Wednesday night Bible study. But just, maybe it's just, personal stubbornness or... I look back, it was probably just the grace of God. And I would go every Wednesday. And to be honest, as I'm driving to church, because I would basically go straight from work and I'd stay a little extra. And then I'd go to church because it was kind of nearby my work. And so I would drive. And even as I'm driving to church, I'd be like, man, I wish I can go home right now. But then I would come to service and we'd worship the Lord. Pastor would do a Bible study. And it was like every single time I would feel so refreshed. I mean, I would feel so alive after I left that Bible study. Just, being with the people of God, praying to the Lord, praying, ministering to each other, worshiping God. I mean, I would feel so pumped up. I would be so refreshed. And it's like, dwelling in the house of the Lord and this strength comes upon you. And then, I'm so forgetful. And so... next Wednesday morning, I wake up and I'm like, I'm not going to go to church tonight. It's the same kind of idea. But then I'd go and I'd feel so refreshed. And so I get what these guys are saying, right? They're dwelling in this house and then there's this strength that comes upon us. Maybe you feel like that with house church. I'd rather go home. I got a lot of work to do, so on and so forth. But then you go and you're around the people of God. And when that happens, just the life, the Zoe, the life of God begins to move in us. And we feel so refreshed. We feel so loved, so cared for in this place. And so he's talking about that. And then he's going back to the Lord and he's reflecting, right? And he says here, behold our shield, O God, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000 outside. I would rather stand at the threshold of the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. In other words, let me draw another way of saying this. Better to experience the worst of God than the best of men. That's what he's saying. Better to experience the worst of God than the best of even men. The whatever wickedness and sin can give to us. And, this is very different than what most people think. They just think, oh, that wickedness, it seems so good, that wealth and all these things, it's the prosperity that's out there. And he's saying, man, a day in thy courts is better than 1,000 outside. Just one moment. I would rather stand at the threshold of the house of my... He's not even in the house of the Lord. He's outside the house. But I'd rather stand there and wait then dwell in the tents of the wicked. In other words, the whatever the world has to offer, it's nothing compared to even the worst that God has to offer us. This is no comparison at all. For the Lord God, now he's drawing from his own experience, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. Remember, these sons of Korah, they're walking, the cloud is covering them. And then in the dark, the brightness, the sun is leading them, the light. I mean, it's just that they're living in this perpetual grace. They're living in this perpetual supernatural provision of God, you know, of a cloud and the fire by night that's keeping them warm. I mean, I don't know if you've ever been in the desert, man. It is cold. My parents used to have a furniture manufacturing company, and so in the summers I would deliver furniture for them. And I used to hate going to the California desert, like what we call the high deserts, because it is so cold. It is so cold early evening towards the night, and I used to try to drive as fast as I can to make sure I get the deliveries done. I mean, you know, it's like 3-4 hours before I get, because it's so cold during that time. I'm talking about, you know, even in the summer. And can you imagine this fire that just warms up the Israelites during their wilderness journey? And he says that's what the Lord is. He's a shield. He's a sun and he's a shield. By the way, this is the first time in the scriptures, and one of the only times that God actually referred to the sun. I just thought it was kind of interesting. And he says here, this is how the goodness of God. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. No good thing does he withhold to those who walk uprightly. Are you having some lack in your life? You know, maybe it's not about blaming God. Maybe it's about looking at your life and you know, are you walking uprightly before the Lord, right? Are you living a pure life before him? And he says no good thing does he withhold. In other words, he's not withholding anything from you. You know, so if you're not receiving that, it could be a couple different things. One, it could be that you're not apprehending it, that you're not grabbing onto this thing, that it's made available to you. But you're not grabbing on, you're not receiving it in some way. Or it could be that there's injustice or, you know, unrighteousness that's in our heart. And it says, O Lord of hosts, it concludes, how blessed is the man who trusts in thee. A man is full of blessing when he just simply trusts in you. Amen? So let's close our eyes. Wes, this must be the easiest worship song, because, you know, this is a song. Psalm 84 is one of the most popular modern worship songs. And so let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Would you rather have a day in his courts? Would you rather be on the threshold of the house of God? Or would you rather dwell in the tents of wickedness? I mean, let's be honest. Are you enticed by all the things that the world has to offer? And it has a lot to offer. But do we understand what the Lord wants to give us? Infinite peace. Profound wisdom. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you as we meditate on Psalm 84.
How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul longs and even faints for you.
Sons of Korah. And I'm so grateful that God had saved them. They did not follow the fate of their fathers, who was swallowed up in the earth. And just being so grateful for being saved, for being alive, they dedicated themselves to worshiping the Lord. And let's pray that we'd have that same heart. I mean, this applies to us as well. We're so grateful for what Jesus Christ has done for us that now we live a life of worship. Our full-time occupation is to glorify the Lord. And let's pray for that kind of heart. Let's pray. Let's pray for our community that are battling through cancers and going through therapies and surgeries. Let's pray for God's healing word. That are battling through illness, but also needs to be saved. Now let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for the word of salvation. Let's pray for our community that are battling through non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing. Community that are battling through COVID, and let's also lift up our frontline medical workers as well, and just continue to pray for the need for more nurses here in Hong Kong. Let's lift up. Looking for work, let's pray for open doors and God's provision. Our mission focus, and let's pray for our churches up north. Let's pray for SPBJ, SPSH. Let's lift up the Chungs and the churches. Let's pray for our pastors, our leaders. Let's just pray for God's protection, God's anointing over each of them as they serve the Lord with all of their heart. Let's pray for our board. Let's ask the Lord's hand and to really give each member a spirit of wisdom and revelation and just a humble heart to serve the Lord. Pray for the fellowship ministries. Pray for the young adults. Their single life workshop that's going on and their retreat coming up soon. Let's pray for the leaders and Pastor Kenny as they lead. Let's pray for the men's ministry, the women's ministry, their prayers and prayer meetings. And let's pray that they would be planning some more events soon that would gather men and women together. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our hospitality ministries, our welcoming, our barista and logistics. So let's just pray for more volunteers to sign up and to help throughout these ministries. And let's pray for our leaders that God would give them good ideas and strategies to really draw more people to this house. Pray for the pregnant women in our church. Let's ask God's protection over them. Let's pray for just the joy of the Lord to be their strength in the midst of this time. Let's pray for protection over the mom and over the womb. Let's lift up. Let's pray for house church meeting tonight, Chai Tea Fortress, Gia, King's Court, TST in Westville. Let's pray for our leaders, pray for our hosts. Pray that they would just be really filled with God's Spirit. There'll be a real anointing to lead our house churches closer to God and to each other. Father, we thank you, God. Lord, better is one day in your courts, God, than a thousand elsewhere. Lord, I'd rather stand, God, at the gate, Lord, of your house than dwell in the tents of wickedness. Lord, even though the world seems so attractive, God, we know that it's fake, it's false, Lord. It gives us false hope, false joy. Lord, help us, God, as your followers, to go after the real thing. Lord, teach us, God. Lord, we thank you. Lord, watch over us today. Lord, help us to glorify you in all that we do and say. Lord, we thank you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow.